from the lectionary. It has been selected because of its significance to the meaning of church. It is also an allusion to the location of General Council, Newfoundland, a place known as the Rock. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
So we're going to do a hymn. It's an oldie but a goodie. This one goes back to the very first United Church service in 1925, when the three denominations came together for the first time, singing this hymn, "The Church's One Foundation." The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. As I said, this hymn takes us back to the inaugural service of the United Church of Canada 90 years ago in 1925. Delegates from the three forming denominations entered the arena and combined to form one body for the first time. It speaks of Jesus Christ as the one foundation of our church. However, when compared with our scripture today, we might see a possible different meaning. Jesus asked his disciples in our story what people were saying about him. They respond that many think Jesus is one of the prophets from the Bible. Return to them. Jesus then asks, "Well, who do you say that I am?" The disciple called Simon speaks up. We can go to the next slide. Here we have a picture of Simon. And if you can see at the bottom, the scripture from this week is printed just below the statue. Simon says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." In response to this bold declaration of faith, Jesus tells him, "From now on, you will be called Peter. For on this rock, I will build my church." So according to the story, Jesus does not declare himself alone to be the foundation of the church, but it is through Simon's faith that he became Peter, which means a rock. And on that rock, the church will be built. So a possible meaning for this scripture might come from our recent general council. As Simon was not a very important man at this point in the story. And he was probably maybe not even the leader of the disciples yet. He was just an often stubborn and perhaps not very successful fisherman from Galilee, from a small town called Capernaum. And this picture is actually at the ruins of Capernaum, which is more commonly known as Capernaum. And so that's the reason I chose this picture as the first one of our slides. He was just an ordinary person, like us, not perhaps significant to his culture or to his people, but somebody who loved Jesus and saw in Jesus' message something to believe in. He was beginning to see Jesus in Jesus possibilities, and perhaps something more, perhaps something significant enough to change the world. A general council was held in Newfoundland this year, as you know, and it is an island called the Rock, and you can see from this picture why that might have been made called the Rock. It's very rocky there, perhaps more than here. The reason that Newfoundland is so rocky is geological. Newfoundland was created when two continents collided with each other millions of years ago. And Newfoundland is actually made up of what used to be on the floor of the ocean. It was pushed up through many years of plate tectonics, as it is known. But Newfoundland might also be called the Rock for more than just geological reasons. Newfoundland might be called the Rock because of its people. The people are tough, hardworking, and able to survive under extremely harsh conditions, both in climate and in economy. Newfoundland, in both land and people, is a survivor. Like Simon, many of Newfoundland's people are also fishermen and women. They are very much like Simon, perhaps poor, but hardworking, and perhaps not very important on the global stage. When Jesus declared that Simon would be called Peter, the foundation of his church, many others may have been mystified by this decision. Why wouldn't Jesus find someone who was more expertise in organizational systems? Or perhaps somebody who was highly religious, a great prophet, or a teacher? When the United Church was formed, it was intentional to place its governance in ordinary people rather than experts. So in this sense, our church's foundation has been of people like Simon Peter, people like the people of Newfoundland. It is Jesus working through the lives of ordinary people that form the foundation of our church. And maybe this is what Jesus had in mind all along. General Council this year had many important decisions before it and had the potential to greatly transform the United Church. I have not decided to go through one by one and explain the decisions that were made at the council in this sermon, because honestly, there's just not enough time. But I will be doing a presentation, perhaps later this month or in September, as part of the course that I took, and I will be sure to invite this congregation to attend this meeting. I'm fairly certain at this point that it will be at Bethany Newton, but I need to confirm with our minister first as to what time would be good. I had expected that Will would present to you, but since Will was unfortunately not able to go, that leaves me as one of the precious few from our cluster who was actually there. But I remember that in a lot of meetings, after numerous people went to the microphone to express their opinion on a subject, that somebody would come up and be like, well, why don't we just get an expert on this topic to come in and tell us what to do? It would be good to know an expert's opinion before we have to make a decision. But then somebody would get up and follow up and say, no, this is a task that the church has trusted to us, and we have a duty to fulfill this role. We often feel inadequate to do what God is calling us to do. This is why we are not the rock that the church is built upon alone. We have Jesus as our foundation and our God as our helper. As General Council continued to meet and to work out the things that they were called to do, things started to synchronize. We would worship and pray during particularly intense moments, and often we were given all a prayer fish made by the people of Newfoundland for us, and often moderator Gary would say, everyone get your prayer fish out and pray during this particular decision. And so there was always a sense that God was with us in the decision making. Now I've lost my place. In the end, all the decisions that needed to be made were made without calling in an expert or a holy man. We did it together, ordinary people, called by God to be the rock on which our church is built. I think my greatest impression from General Council is that we are a people with passions who care deeply about our church, our world, and our calling from God. What's the next slide? Oh, okay. This is, can we go back and then start it again? Okay, this takes a bit of explanation. We are passionate about worship. Each worship service, the entire assembly joined together in song and prayer to keep us centered on God, who is the reason that we were all there. And this video that's coming up is from moderator Gary's hymn sing at the pub. It was probably the most enthusiastic hymn sing that I've ever been to, and I didn't know if it was a good illustration of the worship because it was more of a fun event, but you can definitely see the passion, and so that's what I was going to evoke, the passion of the people, and not that I would recommend that we serve beer at worship, but it did seem to lift it up an extra level of enthusiasm. Okay. It should play automatically. They're singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I don't think the audio will work, but here we can see moderator Gary coming around. I think that was his partner, Tim. We are passionate about justice for Indigenous people. Involvement and consultation from our First Nations was intentional and significant in all areas of the General Council. We all realize we still have very much to do in the area of reconciliation, but both Indigenous and non-Indigenous members felt committed to do this hard work together. Perhaps the most significant moment in the entire council was when we all joined hands in a very large circle, actually two circles, around the arena and sang, "Draw the circle wide." And then we received these little pouches of sacred tobacco from our First Nations elders to take home with us. And I believe I'm going to give this sacred tobacco to our new Native Ministries faculty member at Vancouver School of Theology as a gift from our United Church students. So this is pictures of the circle, and that's me over there. I'm actually in this picture. You can't really see, but... And there was another picture of... This is, the elder of the All-Native Circle Conference, Lorna Standing Ready. She had a very significant role in the General Council, and here she's praying over the sacred tobacco that she's going to offer to everybody. And... okay, this is part of the next point. We are passionate about caring for creation. Issues of climate justice and caring for creation were paramount at this year's council, and some tough decisions were made that did not please everybody. However, the belief was that we must not only preach about justice, but that we must do justice, even if it has very real consequences for our duty to follow Jesus. We are passionate about the world. New ground was broken in approving full communion with the United Church of Christ in the USA. They often said it's like our cousin denomination. And we also approved agreements of mutual recognition of ministry with the United Church of Christ in the Philippines and the Presbyterian Church in the Republic of Korea. And we also welcome ministry partners from around the world in interchurch and interfaith partnerships. The last picture was, this is me and Patty Talbot from the General Council office. We're talking to Dr. Isha Faki from Peace for Life Kenya. She's a professor of Islamic studies, a feminist, and a social justice advocate in Kenya. And this is a picture of all of the invited guests from around the world. I don't know who they all were, but these are two important ones. There's the General Secretary of the Presbyterian Church, Republic of Korea, and the General Secretary of the United Church of Christ in the Philippines. We now recognize the ordination of their ministers, and they likewise recognize the ordination of our ministers. And this is Reverend Karen Georgia Thompson from the United Church of Christ in the USA, and she says that we all need to get our crayons out and get ready to color outside the lines with God, because she learned this hymn for the first time at General Council, and she liked it so much that she promised to pick up a United Church hymnal with her before she goes home and teach it to all of her friends in the United Church of Christ. And, okay, this is the... We are passionate about building the future. Tough decisions were made to ensure the church has a bright future where we can continue to love God and to serve all. Referring back to my last sermon here, I am not only the only one who believes our church will not only survive but thrive. Almost every moderator nominee preached on the future of our church. And those are the picture of all of the 12 moderator nominees from across Canada. I didn't realize there would be so many. I don't know if there's usually that many, but it was quite a lot. It was hard to make a decision because everyone was just so wonderful and gifted. I'm glad that I actually wasn't one of the ones voting because I don't think I would have been able to have narrowed it down to just one. And we are passionate about Jesus Christ. Everyone had a sense that as we draw the circle wide, we cannot forget our source, the center of our circle. Jesus is our partner and our friend, and as we live out our being as the foundation of the church. While I have feared that attending General Council this year might have sent me running for the hills, I am pleased to return to you with an even more secure belief that we are living into what God is calling us to. We are not just a church with a very bright future, but we are a church with a very bright present. All our members and adherents have amazing gifts they offer because they believe that together we can make a difference. We can bring justice, and we can love all. We have leaders, ordained diaconal lay, that are passionate about our congregations and our ministries. And we have a tradition that believes that all can hear God's voice and that all can be included in discerning what the church will be. Many of the motions of General Council will be returning to you, to the presbyteries and congregations for remit. I was made aware this morning that not all of you might know what a remit is. A remit is basically a vote that comes down to either the presbytery level or to the congregations themselves to approve decisions made by the General Council. So the General Council does not rule over you. You have a voice to say if what the General Council is telling you is what you also feel is what God's will is for this church or not. I encourage all of you to ensure that your minister or your council or your presbytery representatives listen to your concerns and pray with you as you work through these items together. But please do not keep silent because you think you are the only one who disagrees or that you think that your voice doesn't matter. We are called to do this work together, and together we must stand united. You are Peter. And upon that rock, Jesus is building this church. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, I'm not sure I went through all the photos, so I'm going to make sure that I did. The last one, what we saw was there. Okay. I think that was the last picture then of the... I just learned what the very and the right reverend mean. On the next slide. The very reverend is a former moderator, and the right reverend is the current moderator. I always thought there was like a typo or like which one's which. I have no idea, but that's the rule. So we have very reverend, Reverend Dr. Gary Patterson, installing the right reverend Jordan Cantwell, the 42nd moderator of the United Church of Canada. I think I have her bio in this little folder of things. So if you're interested later, you can read through that. And I think that's the last slide. Yes. God's love calms the stormy recesses of our souls and sends Jesus Christ to be the rock on which we anchor our faith. In gratitude to God, we now present our gifts of faith. May they provide mooring in these for those in need of safety, shelter, and a firm foundation. Our offering will now be received.
Good morning. While we are taking our offering, I will just speak to you about Northwood and Service in Action. And firstly, I'd like to say thank you again to Craig for coming to be with us this morning and to bring us a powerful message about the sharing from General Counsel. It sounds as though you had a wonderful time and that you have a lot to share with us, and we look forward to that and to your continued work in the church. As we go forward in the next couple of weeks, the major thing that's on our minds is our fall fair on September the 19th. And I was checking in with Marlene this morning. I want to say a big thank you to those who have been responding over the last few weeks to our pleas for persons to come forward to be leaders. Apparently, we've filled most of those positions, and the only one that we need is someone to help and be the leader for ticket sales. So if somebody could come forward with that, please speak to Marlene. She'd be very, very, very grateful. We always need help. We've actually also been able to put in place our chefs for the day, and that will help us a lot with the food concession. Really appreciate that. There's not a lot else that's going on in Northwood during the week. If you check your bulletin, you will see what's listed there. As Marlene mentioned earlier on, the memorial service for Marilyn Sparks, Will's mother, will be on Saturday, August the 22nd in Victoria. I will be going to represent the congregation there on Saturday. Please be sure to sign the cards and put a little note in there for Will and for his family. And if it's all ready, I will take it with me next week. Thank you.
So I think we can sing our song, What Can I Do? Because of the microphone situation, I'll come back up here to do the prayer after I go down to accept the gifts. Bless our offerings and transform them into compassion for others.